If you have your Bible, turn with me to Proverbs chapter 29. We'll be looking at verse 18. Proverbs chapter 29 and verse 18. I'll give you just a moment to find your place. Again, I'll take this time while you're finding your place in God's Word to apologize if I have to stop during the message, take a sip of water or something like that. I am battling a little bit of a head and chest cold this morning, so you may see me making some pauses or something along that. So I do apologize in advance for those. Proverbs chapter 29 and verse 18. The Bible says, "Where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he." Well, as I said earlier, Happy New Year and welcome to 2016. And following tradition, we have all heard of and maybe even participated in New Year's resolutions. And don't misunderstand, I'm not condemning that practice at all. But I do find myself asking the question, do we really understand what a resolution is? It is more than just a metaphor with some abstract meaning. A resolution is a firm decision to do or not do something. Did you catch the word firm in that understanding? It means that it is something definite. When we make a resolution, we obligate or declare that we're going to do something definite. So when we think about a New Year's resolution, often we wind up slowly fading away in our resolutions. But we need to realize what we're doing. We are saying that I am definitely making plans and intentions to make this change in my life. And then down the path of the year, we decide it isn't that important anymore. For some reason, we decide, well, we just need to stop where we're at, or we'll pick it up in another day. I took time to look up some of the most popular New Year's resolutions for 2016. One news agency rates the top six as, number one, enjoy life to the fullest. Number two, live a healthier lifestyle. Number three, lose weight. Number four, save more, spend less. Number five, spend more time with family and friends. And number six, pay down debt. Those were the top six that this news agency had listed. And this was on New Year's Day, by the way. So they had taken this poll on New Year's Eve. So there's nothing wrong with any of these. However, I did notice that none of them involved anything with the Lord. There was no spiritual attachment to any of them. It was all material, and it was all worldly, and there was no spiritual consideration in any of these resolutions. And I find that alarming, because as a country, and by and large when polls are taken, we declare ourselves to be a Christian nation. But yet, when we start making plans for the future, when we start looking ahead, we oftentimes forget God. And that should bother us. Many who involve themselves with resolutions establish them also based on the previous year's failures. Did you know that? We think about what we're going to do for 2016, but in establishing that, how often do we look back and see how we failed in 2015? Well, I'm going to fix that this year. And that becomes our resolution. We wind up living our life in the past. We wind up letting our failures dictate our future. Now, there's some good that can come of that. But when we wind up getting caught in a circle, year after year after year of letting what we didn't do establish what we intend to do, we don't move forward. We don't make progress. Not good, positive progress. And that's what God wants in our life. God wants all of us moving forward in His direction, moving forward in His work and in His will for our life, what He's established for us. And we can, as we can and should learn from the past, we need to be looking ahead and following what the Bible calls vision. As I prepared today's message, I couldn't help but ask, do we realize what vision really is? For example, the January 1st, 2016 issue of the McDowell News had a very entertaining editorial. It was titled, 2016 Year in Preview, A Blurry Look into the Future. Looking ahead with blurred vision. Entertaining, yes, but not very encouraging, is it? When our vision, speaking of our physical eyesight, when it becomes blurred, we go to the doctor and we get it corrected, right? We will get glasses, we'll get contacts, surgery, whatever is needed, we will fix our vision so that it's clear and we're focused. We're able to see and see clearly what's in front of us. So, if our spiritual vision becomes blurred, wouldn't it stand to reason that we come to the great physician? We come to Him, we come to the Lord, and we have the Lord correct the problems. We ask the Lord to identify the problems in our life so that we can correct them moving ahead. Correcting our spiritual vision for God's service in 2016 is what I want us to focus on and think about this morning. As we look at the words of Solomon and we consider how they apply to our lives today, I can't help but believe we can learn a great deal about God's plan for us individually, for our families, and for our church as well. So as we move into the message this morning, the message I've titled, Do You See What I See? I believe that's exactly what God is asking. When we read this passage, I believe He is asking, do you see what I see? So let's look at His Word with a desire to see what He sees moving into 2016. First, notice with me that God sees a bright future for those who are faithful. I mentioned earlier, vision is what? What do we understand vision to be? Vision in God's Word is the conception, communication, and comprehension of God's Word. Vision is God's Word and how it personally applies to each one of us and how we understand it, how we take ownership of it, and how we work and move forward with it. There is a communication problem in the church. When we stop and listen, we find that there's a lot of people talking, but no one listening to God. When we stop and we look at the different churches, and especially look at the ones on television, when we look there, we flip through, there's a lot of talk going on from the pulpits, a lot of talk going on from the Christian writings and the Christian books, and everything of that nature. There's a lot of talk and a lot of exchanging of ideas and thoughts. They're all talking about the Word of God, but how often are we actually going to the Word of God and letting God talk to us and listening to Him? Communication requires two paths, a speaker and a listener. While God gives us an opportunity to speak through prayer, He also gives us an opportunity to listen through His Word. God's Word, our Bible, is how He speaks to you and I. How often do we open it? How often do we let it speak to our heart? How often do we listen to God and what He has to say to us? God's word this morning must be heard. It must be heard. We need to read it. We need to study it. We need to open it. We need to live our lives guided by it. It would do us well to make plans right now to start 2016, opening our Bible, spending time in it daily, letting God speak to us, and then taking our time in prayer to speak to God about revealing to us His wisdom and His work from His Word and applying it to our hearts. Those aren't just catchy words that are alliterated this morning in order to draw attention to the message. Those are words that have deep meaning and deep focus in your life and in my life if we will apply it. God's word must be heard. Next, God's word must be heeded. Those who hear God's word often, very few of them, ever apply it to their lives. How do we know? Because there's very little repentance that takes place. If we listened and if we heeded the Word of God, and if we listened to it and we took it and applied it to our lives personally, we would be embracing repentance this morning. That is something that we could all look forward to in 2016, is having a life of repentance that leads to a greater obedience to God's Word. Applying it to our lives first. What can I do in my life to live closer to God, to be repentant of things that I have fallen short in, not according to my estimation, but according to God's estimation? How do I know that? By reading, by studying His Word. If I study His Word and if I apply it to me, then I find ways in my life that I can live closer to Him, and by living closer to Him, I can be in greater obedience to Him. And that means I hold His Word closer. Once God's Word is heard and heeded, it must be held in the heart. I'm not talking about memorization. I'm not talking about just sitting down and memorizing Scripture and quoting Scripture. I'm talking about it coming into our heart so that it is absolute in our lives. When we take a poll among churches and among church members across the nation, do you realize that on a greater and greater scale, God's Word is no longer considered absolute? It is no longer considered inerrant and infallible and inspired. It is no longer considered that in many churches around the nation today. It is no longer considered that in the lives of many people. If God's Word isn't inerrant, if it isn't inspired, if it isn't infallible, then what is it? Either it is the absolute right and wrong in our lives, or it isn't. And if it is, we need to give it that proper place. And I say to you this morning, in my life and in my estimation and in my understanding, my realization, it is inerrant. It is inspired. It is authoritative in all of our lives. And we need to take the opportunity and the privilege today to hold to it and to put it in our hearts. The vision that we have over God's Word and how it applies in our life, and the vision that God has for us individually, for our families, and for our little church, all comes back and relates to the point of a future that deals with being faithful. Well, what's the other side of that coin? God sees a bold failure for those who are fearful. Either we are faithful this morning and we hold true to God's Word, or we are fearful. If we're fearful, we are concerned, we are worried, and we are intimidated by what the world thinks of us. To perish, as we read in our Bibles, is not a word of judgment. Did you know that? Perish doesn't speak of judgment. Perishing speaks of failure. People failing God. People failing God are people that live in fear of the world and in fear of a world view. When we do a word study on this, we see that it is a verb and it indicates a loosening. Perish is a loosening of our grip on our relationship with God. A loosening that we do. Because we take our eyes off God, and we start allowing the world to dictate in our heart and in our life how we should be thinking, how we should be feeling, how we should be acting. We become fearful. We become fearful of what society has to say. We become fearful of what the world has to say. We become fearful of what employers, of what others, schools, academics, what do the elite have to say? We become fearful of not satisfying them. And by doing so, we loosen our grip on God. And when we do that, we are in danger of perishing. How do we know? How do we know that we're in danger of perishing? Well, first of all, we avoid worship. There's a difference between not being able to attend church and not wanting to attend church. There's a difference. Public worship is important to everyone who is living according to God's Word. It's important to everyone. Not everyone could be here this morning. Some are sick. Some could not make it because of work. There are other issues and things that hinder and prohibit someone from coming. Reasonable prohibitions. But then there are the times when we just don't want to attend. When we start loosening our grip on God and we start being at risk of being a people that are perishing, we start moving away from worship. It no longer holds a significant spot in our life. In 2016, I would encourage you to look at worship in your life and find the significance of it and let it be a centerpiece in your life, a centerpiece in your week, in your family, and in your family structure. We need worship. We need to be lifting up God, and we need to be crying out to Him. We need to be praising Him. We need to be singing hallelujahs to Him. We need to be letting Him know how close we want to be to Him. And we need to be doing that legitimately, not just putting on a front. We need to truly be in love with God and want to worship Him and be in His presence. Avoiding worship is just the first. Once we start avoiding worship, the next thing we do is avoid work. Those who have begun to avoid worship soon do avoid work. And I'm talking about God's work. I'm not talking about the workplace. I'm not talking about a career. I'm not talking about a paycheck. I'm talking about God's work. The church age, the age we live in, is commissioned to take the gospel into the world. The Word of God. We call it the Great Commission. If you haven't already, you should read it sometime. Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20 is a good place to start. A good reference Bible will connect you to the Synoptic. And if you didn't understand what I just said, that should be a wake-up call that we need to get up to speed with God's Word and what it really means. Synoptics are the three Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. What you find in one, you will find in the other two, and they will be listed. And they will be, they may be worded differently, but they will mean the same thing. They're reading them in a synoptic fashion. It will give you a good outlook and a good perspective on what the Gospels were written for. We have to be careful and not avoid the work that God has placed before us of delivering His Word to those that are around us. So, well, the Word of God is available. It is available. But God didn't, the Lord Jesus Christ did not call us to make it available. The Lord Jesus Christ said, go deliver it. He said, go deliver it. That doesn't mean we have to ram it down somebody's throat. But we do need to have such a grip on it in our life that when the opportunity comes for us to talk to someone, and the ability to talk to Jesus Christ should be able to just naturally flow. We should be able to ask them about their relationship with God in some way, shape, form, or fashion. It may be that direct. It may not be. But if we are doing the work of the church, we are constantly praying and asking God for His guidance and how to do His work. A perishing people have a sign of avoiding God's work, of just wanting to say, not me. Let somebody else do that. Let somebody else worry about that. That's what the preachers are for. That's what the evangelists are for. That's what the missionaries are for. When we start avoiding God's work, we start loosening our grip on Him. And we find ourselves at risk of being a people that is perishing. By the time we get to this point, we are avoiding His Word. We have loosened our relationship on worship. We have loosened our relationship on work. Now we are loosening our relationship on His Word. We're no longer placing the Bible in the place in our personal lives where it needs to be. Look at our nation. Look how limited the Word of God is in our nation. We can't have it in public schools. Not to the level that it once was. I remember receiving Gideon Bibles when I was in school. Not once did a Gideon force me to take a Bible. They were handed and offered, say no if you won't, take it if you will. Now we can't do that. They can't do that. Do you realize that the Gideons can take a Bible and they can give it to the hospital, but the hospitals do not put them in the rooms anymore? If a patient wants one, as a chaplain, I can go to the nurse's station and I can tell them, I need a Bible for so-and-so. And they will get me one, hand it to me, and I will take it and give it to them. And we will share and work with it. But it is no longer placed in the nightstands. The night tables beside the beds. We have become a nation where we are avoiding the Word of God. We have become a people where we avoid the Word of God. We no longer hold any value to God's Word. As a society, that means that in a by and large group, individual people don't. When we look at Proverbs 29, verse 18, and we see where there is no vision, the people perish, we should be concerned in our personal lives where our worship is, where our work is, and where our concern with the Word of God is. Do we really cherish it to the point that we should? Does it lead and guide our lives like it should? Well, we've seen a faithful future, and we have talked about a fearful failure, but that doesn't complete the message. I want you to understand, we also close this verse by seeing that God sees a blessed people who follow Him. The last part of that verse, "But he that keepeth the law, happy, happy is he." That word happy in our culture is a word that, again, has a very abstract meaning. It deals with what you and I want it to mean personally. That's not the way it's used in God's Word. Especially here in this verse, it speaks to a people who enjoy a proper relationship. It is the enjoyment of a proper relationship, in this case, with God. Because it speaks of law. He that keepeth the law, God's law, happy, or they have an enjoyable relationship with Him because they keep His law. Now we bring that into the church age, and we're talking about the entirety of the Word of God. Happy. Or a person who enjoys a proper relationship with God is a person who holds on to His Word and allows it to have a proper place in their life. In other words, happy has an absolute meaning from God's Word. And it is a meaning that has a positive impact, an encouraging impact, an impact that influences us to take God's Word and put it in a proper place in our life and move forward with it. Let it move us forward. We want to move forward in 2016 as individuals. We want to move forward as a church, as a family. Then let's let the Word of God move us forward. Let's find God's Word and the value of it and return it back into our lives for 2016. Let's let Proverbs 29:18 hold a proper place in our life. And let's let it speak to us. It is a blessing that comes from following God's Word. It's a blessing that He wants to place in your life and my life. God doesn't want to withhold anything from us. God doesn't want to hinder us in any way. God doesn't want us looking back. He wants us looking forward. He wants us to be a repentant people that are living in a greater obedience and a greater willingness to love Him and to cherish Him. So this morning, let's make our resolutions, but let's be thoughtful with them. Because when you do, you're making a commitment to see something through to a conclusion. Something very serious, something very firm. With that in mind, let's focus every thought of this coming year through God's Word. Let's focus the decisions we make through God's Word. Let's focus them through what His desires are for our life. If we want to see what God sees, we must view it the way He views it. And for us, that's through His Word. And we can view life through His Word. The only way we see any real godly growth in our lives, in the lives of our loved ones or even our nation, is by applying God's direction and God's purpose. God's people and the church must return to a relationship that's focused on Christ, that's focused through our Bibles. Your Bible is the key. It's the key that unlocks all the doors that will reveal a spiritual direction, that'll reveal comfort and growth that you've only heard others talk about. As a born-again Christian, why would you not want to live closer to God? What reason would you have not to have that desire? None of us knows what tomorrow is going to hold. Will your job be there? Will your home be there? Will your health be there? None of us know the answer to those. God does. God knows yesterday, today, and tomorrow. So why would we not want to live as close to Him as we can and strive to live closer tomorrow and next week and next month? That way we can have and experience the peace that passes all understanding. So as we leave today, let's leave with an answer to the question, do you see what I see? Do you see a year of living closer to God and having God greater and having God more prevalent in your life and you doing more to get closer to Him, more to accomplish His work, His will, more time in His Word, and taking our families and leading our families to a closer and stronger relationship with Him? God asks, do you see what I see? Let's pray. Heavenly Father and Lord God, as we bow before You and close this service, I ask, dear God, that You would examine our hearts. Dear Lord, I pray that You would take the opportunity that lies before us to be a people that strive and desire to live closer to You than we've ever lived before, not knowing what the future holds with all of the turmoil and terrorism that plagues the world. God, there's a lot of fear out there. There's a lot of temptation to walk away from You and walk into the world and walk into fleshly desires. Dear God, I pray that we would set those aside. I pray, Heavenly Father, that we would draw close to You, that we would allow You to present a vision to us, a vision of seeing what You see, and that is us individually, our families, and our little church being much closer to You in the coming year. Lead, guide, and direct in everything that's said and done. Be with those who are sick today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.